Blog Talk Radio.
First Peter 1:15, as he which is holy, which hath called you, is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, or in all manner of living. Hallelujah. And the only way that you can do that is when you fall in love with Jesus.
Separation. Separation from sin, separation from the world. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 14, which says simply, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Be ye holy, for I am holy, God says. If we expect to have the Holy Spirit dwelling in our lives, it makes a lot of sense. We must be holy. Holiness really means being Christ-like. Holiness means every aspect of living for God. It's a privilege to be holy. It's a privilege not to be bound to sin. It's a privilege not to be addicted to alcohol. It's a privilege not to be addicted to smoking. It's a privilege not to be bound by lust and bitterness and envy. It's the most powerful thing in the world that when somebody treats you wrong, instead of treating them wrong back, you can say, look, nobody's going to manipulate me. Nobody's going to tell me how to think. The devil can't make me do this. No other person can provoke me into an ungodly situation. But through the power of the Holy Ghost, I can respond with a meek and gentle and quiet and peaceable spirit under all circumstances.
Well, don't y'all over there think of, well, y'all say you can't do this, you can't dress, and you can't do certain things.
You don't matter.
How long you talk to them until they get a revelation of who God is, they're not going to understand what holiness is. This salvation in Acts 2:38 is not a must. I mean, it's not a maybe. It's a must. It's not just an optional way, another plate building to get into and just say you're a believer, but it is the only way to travel and to become a true, full-hearted believer.
Praise the Lord. Welcome, 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 welcome to another live broadcast of Kingdom of God Ministries. We're so delighted to be coming to you tonight, this Saturday, September 21st. Tonight we will be speaking on getting deliverance from demonic oppression. And if you watched the news this past week, the tragic incident in Maryland where the young man killed the people on the naval base, and then he was killed. From what the account news account said, he had been hearing voices. He had been dealing with some type of, I guess, depression. And we're going to be covering some of that. We're going to we will be talking on getting deliverance. And you know, it infuriates me that we're always, and you get the professionals after the fact, the psychologists, and they're trying to analyze, did we see this coming? What was the cause of him doing what he did? And you get tired of the after fact. Can we have a solution before the incident happens? Well, tonight, I will give you a solution. So you listen, who are listening to me, if you are struggling with voices, demonic attacks, things that is coming to your mind that you know are not healthy, we're reaching out to you before something tragic like what we just seen, God forbid. I mean, it's getting like every other week, some type of shooting, some type of murder. And then right after that, we had young men in Chicago just shooting up, just shooting gang members. And we always, the people and the church, sit up and always talk about what could we do. Well, I'm going to tell you something. Taking the guns away is not going to stop it when you're dealing with a spiritual demonic force. There is evil in the land. There is demons that are loosed to torment men. And the only way you're going to combat that is through the power of Jesus Christ. Yeah, you could tell me, oh, here we go, here we go. Well, let me ask this question to the professionals, your so-called psychologists. Do you have an answer? Or is your answer just to get a lot of people medicated on mind-altering drugs, and then when they come off the drugs, then they do something the unthinkable? And it's sad, because this young man was crying out, and I don't know if his associates around him seen the signs or they ignore the signs. A lot of times, we may see the signs, but we'll just say, whatever his name. He acts crazy all the time. So you just overlook it. You won't deal with it. Oh, we always knew he was crazy. Yeah, but what are you doing about it? Are you going to just sit up and allow people with illnesses or demonic attacks, and you could even take them to the church. You could take them to a deliverance ministry. But let's go on. Let's open up with prayer, and then we'll go on. We only have a 60-minute show tonight, so we're going to hit some points. We're hitting it hard. And I want you to just reach out. If you need to email us. If you need prayer, KOGM77.com. Email us. We'll be happy to pray with you, because I don't want to see no one else oppressed with this demonic spirit that's sweeping the land. It's a spirit of murder. Father God, we just want to thank you tonight. We thank you for your blessings, Lord God. We know that you're all powerful. And Lord, we just thank you that you gave us a platform so we can come to your people and bring the unadulterated word. Lord God, we do it with a humble attitude, because it's not about us, but it's about you, Father God. Lord God, we ask that you word our mouth. Let those that are listening, those that are bound up, those that are tormented, let them hear your voice, Lord God. Fall to their face and ask you to help them. They can't do it on their own, but Lord, let them open their heart to you to receive the word on tonight. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we're talking about getting deliverance from demonic oppression. The one way you can get deliverance, and we talk about this a lot, but you have to put on the whole armor of God so that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And you may be saying, what is the armor? How do you do that? Number one, putting on the armor of God is repenting and asking God to come in your life. That's the first step. For we are wrestling not with flesh and blood, but against the powers of darkness in heavenly places. Therefore, put on the whole armor of God so that you may be able to stand your ground. You hear what I said? Stand your ground on the evil day, and having done all to stand firm, stand therefore, having tightened the girdle of truth, which is the word of God, around your loins, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet in preparation of the gospel of peace, lift up over all the shield of faith upon which you can quench all the flaming missiles from the wicked one. You hear me out there? We're giving you some solutions how to fight the evil one. You can't do it. I just told you, you can't do it with flesh and blood. You can't do demonic attacks by natural means. This is found in Ephesians 6:11-17. We belong to the day. Therefore, let us be sober and put on the breastplate of faith and love, and for the helmet, the hope of salvation. 1 Thessalonians 5:8. The Spirit of God is upon me, Jesus, because the Lord has anointed me. This is what Jesus was saying. God anointed him to preach the gospel to the meek, the humble, the poor, the afflicted. He was sent to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives. That's physical, spiritual, and emotional, and mental. God don't want you to be captive, held captive. And to open the prison of those who are bound by sickness or mental illness, to give them to give them a garment of praise instead of spirit of heaviness or depression. You notice he says spirit of heaviness. It's a spirit. Depression. There are certain types of depression, but sometimes certain depressions can lead you to do the unthinkable about what this young man was saying. He said he was hearing voices, microwave signals and all this. God wants you to be free. Arise, over in Isaiah 60:1. He said, arise from the depression which circumstances have kept you. Shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. Ask God to come in your heart. If you're dealing with demonic attacks, don't try to fight these things on your own. You get with some believers. You get with other people to help you pray these things out of you. Why art thou downcast in despair, depressed, O my soul? I'm coming out of Psalms 42:5-11. Why should you be disturbed? Hope in God. Wait for him. For I shall yet praise him, my help and my God. For I shall yet praise him who is the help of my countenance, and he is my God. Call upon God. He cares for you. It is the Lord who goes before you. He will walk with you. He will not fail you or forsake you. Fear not, neither become broken in spirit or depressed. Deuteronomy 31:8. Go your way. Be not grieved or depressed, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Nehemiah 8:10. Now, I'm giving you scriptures out the Bible. These are scriptures that will help you with depression. Dealing with depression, this is how you do. There are two distinct types of depression. One is situational and what doctors call a chemical imbalance. Situational depression will lift once the situation changes, but they may need to work on overcoming it, okay? So we know situational can be a loss of a job, loss of a loved one. These are situational depression. But then there's another depression classified as chemical imbalance. It's caused by an evil spirit. The scripture says it is the spirit that causes the heaviness or depression. If the scripture says it's a spirit, then logically speaking, we have to define it for what the spirit calls it. He says it's an evil spirit. Now, I just told you about situational depression. Some things we go through, loss of a job, like I said, just things in general. There is a time, even when you a death of a loved one, there's a time for mourning. Even the Bible says that. There's a time for joy. There's a time for laughter. There's a time to cry. This is over in Ecclesiastes. So there is some type of depression that, when the situation changes, your situation the depression will alleviate. But we're talking about demonic depression. It says here, evil spirits can be overcome by using the resources that the Lord has given us. He said, God has shown us very clearly how to deal with depression. We need to make something very clear. Depression is not sin. So if you're going through depression, it's not a sin. But God already gave you an antidote for it. How to counteract, how to attack the depression, what you feel is coming on. And I had dealt with that years ago, and God healed me of that. That's a nasty spirit. And let's go on here, and I want to bring something out. When it can start as a small event, this is depression, that ends up being so big that the sufferer has trouble coping with the sadness. That's why we have to, I gave you the scriptures on how to combat the depression. When you see it start just taking over your very being, then you need to do something about it. These are, like I said, a loss of a job, poverty, death of a loved one, marriage difficulties, prolonged illness, shock, war, childbirth, stress, or any number of events can trigger depression. It may start as an event, but as it degrades or becomes broken in spirit, the devil takes advantage of that situation and brings an overwhelming spirit of heaviness that the sufferer cannot easily shake off. But the good news is the Lord has shown us how to overcome. Hallelujah! We have victory. Let me go on. Depression often gives the sufferer a sense of hopelessness. However, we see in the above verses that having the helmet of salvation, which is the helmet of hope, is the spiritual weapon given to us to cover our minds against the hopelessness that often goes with depression. Satan wants your mind. He want to take your mind, and how he does it, it starts with lies. And that's how depression starts. He makes he projects the situation like it's bigger than, you know, he just magnifies it. So if you lose your job, he'll tell you, oh, you ain't going to make it. You're going to get set out. You're going to lose everything you got. Look at Job in the Bible. He attacked his finances. He attacked his health. He attacked his children. He attacked his spouse. And Job went through a period of depression. He said, curse the day he was ever born. See, depression will make you not even want to be on this earth. But let me tell you, God wants you here. Stop with the suicide. Reach out to Jesus. God don't want you to. Depression will tell you you'll be better off if you take your life. That's a lie from the pits of hell. God said protect your mind. And how you protect it? With the word of God. With salvation. The helmet of salvation. And like I said, if you are contemplating any demonic attack on your mind, the devil is talking to you, telling you to do things that you know is contrary, call somebody. Don't try to struggle with that thing alone. We have to cover our minds from attacks of the enemy. This is one area where he wants to take hold. The Lord has already given us a garment of praise. This counters the spirit of heaviness. So a lot of times if you're a Christian, one way that will break demonic depression off of you, just start praising them. Lord, I thank you. I may have lost my job, but I thank you for making provisions. Lord, I may not have this, but I do have this. I got my health. Start seeing some of the things that you do have. See, depression will make you just focus on one area. I lost my job. So depression will have you thinking that you will never get another job. You see? But look, we got to remember God holds us in his hand. And God will protect us. Ask God to protect your mind. God will do that. The helmet of salvation and hope, after we have put on the garment of praise, we can see God. It's saying to us, arise out of that depression, out of that circumstance. Ask God to come in your heart. Ask God to come in your life. To ask God to cleanse your thoughts. I don't want to think like this, God. I'm having unhealthy thoughts. Satan is attacking my mind, Lord God. Take these thoughts, Lord. God will help you if you call on him. But you need to call on him. Don't try to do it on your own. If someone who feels depressed is not on antidepressants, it's better not to even start getting on them. Because what they do, these are mind-altering drugs. And they can cause you, once you go off them, if you go off them quick, you can have these withdrawals of hallucinations and things of this nature. I would say the best antidote is prayer and deliverance. Because some of these, what I told you two types of depression. And I'm talking about the demonic depression. The best antidote is to have, these are demonic attacks, to have them cast out. And I'm not talking about going to some quack, talking about exorcism. I'm talking about believing, God-fearing people who know the power of God. And how do you find those people? You're looking at one right now. We don't do crazy stuff when we deliver. We just pray the power of God, and we cast the demons out. Let's go over here, and I want to bring out something, how Jesus dealt with a demon-possessed young man. Jesus never treated mental illness like a sickness, like we do today. He never pandered to it like mental health professionals do today. He treated it like the evil thing it is, and God's way to deal with mental illness is to take authority over it and cast it out. There are always exceptions, of course, but according to the Bible, we should be prepared to cast an evil spirit out of the mentally ill. Jesus cast the evil spirit that caused the mental illness out of the person every time, and he gave all believers the commission to cast out evil spirits. That's over in Matthew 10 and 8. Jesus exercised total control over evil spirits, and they knew exactly who he was. Who Jesus cured many who were afflicted with various diseases, and he drove out many demons, but would not allow the demons to talk because they knew him, Mark 1:34. The unclean spirits, as often as they saw him, fell down before him and kept screaming out, "You are the Son of God," Mark 3:11. In the synagogue, there was a young man who was possessed by a foul spirit of a demon, and he cried out to the Lord, terrible cry. "Oh, leave us alone." This is what the demon said. See, because they recognized there was someone greater than them. When you've got demons in you and that person is a child of God, they recognize the power of God. They cried out, say, "Leave us alone. What have we to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are. The Holy One of God." This is what the demon said. But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be quiet and come out of him." And the unclean spirit, throwing the man into convulsions and screaming with a loud voice, came out of him, but did not injure him in any way. That's over in Luke 4:33-36, Mark 1:26. Do you see the power of God? And God gave us that very authority when we received his Holy Spirit. We have that authority. We have that power to cast out demons. The people who are self-harm, who harm themselves or want to harm others, they are under the power of evil spirits. They can be supernaturally strong. The strength comes from the devil. Jesus always rebuked the spirit. You see what I'm saying? He rebuked the evil spirit out of these people. Then we read the story about the demon-possessed man who was clearly insane. He supernaturally strong, constantly harming himself. He was naked and out of control. Once Jesus had cast the evil spirits out of him, the Bible say he was in his right mind. So I showed you how demons get in your mind. He would be out in the tombs. This young man that Jesus cast the devil out, he would be out in the tombs in the graveyard, howling, screaming. And Jesus asked the Father, how long have this thing been in him? He said, since he was a child. So he would often, he lived among the tombs and no one could subdue him because he had strength. Even with a chain, for he had been bound often with shackles from the feet and handcuffed and held in pieces, and no one had strength enough to restrain him. But all the power of God broke those chains off of him. That's what demonic attacks do. It'll have you so bound up in your mind. It's like chains holding you. You can't think rationally. Every day you're tormented. You don't know which way to go. But God can break those demonic strongholds, demonic chains off your life. And when Jesus seen the young man, he asked him, he said, he'd been in these chains. He would tear his clothes off. He wore no clothes. And he lived in the house but in the tombs. Night and day among the tombs and on the mountain, he was always screaming, beating, bruising, and cutting himself with stones. So these young and old folks who cut themselves, those demon spirits. Jesus asked them, what is your name? The possessed man replied, my name is Legion, for we are many. And crying out with a loud voice, he said, what have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you by God, do not torment me. See, when demons come in the presence of God, they are tormented. They begged Jesus not to command them to depart into the abyss, for Jesus was already commanding the unclean spirit to come out of the man. Come out of the man, that demoniac. Jesus commanded them, and they came to see. They came to Jesus and looked intently at the man who had been a demoniac, sitting there at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. The same man who had the legion of demons, those who had seen it told him how he who had been possessed with demons was restored to health, and they were struck with fear. Mark 5:2-15, together with Luke 8:27. In all three of these accounts, Jesus commanded the demons to enter into some pigs that were grazing nearby, and the pigs leapt into the lake and drowned themselves. But you see the power of God. God do not want no one to be tormented. Jesus came to set the captives free. He wants you to be whole. He wants you to be free. He wants you to have a right mind. All this thinking that you somebody up to get me, hallucinations, you can't sleep at night, they torment you at night, they're jumping on you in your sleep. That's not God. Call to God. Get help. You have ministers of the gospel. This is what they do. And they love doing it. They're not going to charge you. We don't charge here at Kingdom of God Ministries. What we do is sincere and out of the heart. And with that, I'm going to conclude and turn this part over to Brother Bob. Be blessed.
Praise the Lord. Brothers and sisters of the Most High God, we're coming to you this evening with the subject of getting deliverance from demonic oppression. Minister Catherine Montgomery brought out many things in reference to demonic oppression. She gave the various differences between demonic depression, demonic oppression, and I'm going to go a little bit more into this subject. We always, when we come into the program, we don't want to give you our opinions. Our opinions really don't matter that much. Our opinion only matters when it is in reference to the things of God and the Word of God. So that's where we're going to stay. And that's all you will get from us is the Word of God, the Spirit of God, and the anointing of the Lord for your deliverance. That's what we're about, deliverance. Giving you answers to the problems that you have in the realm of the Spirit. Trying to help you and showing you how to effectively fight the enemy, because the battle is already won through Christ Jesus. The Lord has already defeated the devil. He defeated him on the cross. But when he defeated him on the cross, he did that. And we have to move in that arena. But in order for us to be victorious over the onslaught of the enemy, we have to get it. First of all, we have to accept the Lord Jesus as our Savior, and we have to walk accordingly. Not only do we have to walk accordingly, we have to get in His Word, study His Word, learn His Word, and use His Word effectively against the enemy. Because, see, in the things of God, ignorance is not bliss. We have to have knowledge of the tactics of the enemy, and the only way we will have knowledge of the tactics of the enemy or the devil and all his minions is through and by the Word of God, through and by Christ Jesus, through and by the Holy Spirit. So at that, I'm going to go directly into the Word in reference to deliverance from demonic oppression. One thing I would like to say to all of you listening out there, right off the bat, is as soon as you accept the Lord Jesus Christ, many of the things that the enemy has placed on you have been broken. So you say, well, I don't feel like they have been broken. But they have been broken in reference to what Christ has already done for you. When he died on the cross, when he shed his blood on the cross, when he lived, he went up on the cross, he died, he was buried, he was resurrected, he went back to the Father, and right now he's sitting at the right hand of the Father making intercession for us. That battle was won. The battle for our salvation was won. Now the only thing we have to do is accept what Jesus did for us. And when we do that, we have really gotten the victory over the enemy. Now you have to realize that you have the victory over the enemy and walk therein. And one of the main things that the enemy does is attack our mind. Minister Catherine said earlier, because he knows if he can get our mind, attack our mind, and confuse us in who we really are in Christ and in the authority that we have in Christ over the enemy, then he's just about won the battle in our physical and spiritual life. And that's the reason why we have to study the Word of God. We have to digest the Word. We have to eat it up. We have to meditate on the Word. And when I say meditate, that don't mean blank-mindedness. That means having your mind full of the Word of God. And when you have your mind full of the Word of God, what will happen is the Spirit will become stronger and stronger in you, and you can more effectively fight off the darts that the Lord, that the enemy, the devil, is shooting at your mind. And the Lord will at the same time strengthen your mind, because what will happen as you get more and more of the Word in you, then you get more and more of the mind of Christ operating in you. The scripture said, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. And the mind of our Lord and Savior Christ Jesus was what? Was in obedience to God and doing what God told him to do. Even up until the cross, he was obedient. And that's how we have to be. If we're not like that, then the enemy will continue to play with our minds and put spirits of oppression on us and put depression on us and tell us all kinds of lies. And if we accept those lies, then he's got us. Because when we accept the lie, he'll bring something else. Then fear is connected to that lie. And then fear is not faith. And if you're not operating in faith, you can't please God. So let's get into the word here. We're talking about getting deliverance from demonic oppression. When you talk about oppression, when you speak of oppression, you talk about somebody that's coming against your mind, coming against your body, making you unhealthy. It's as a tormenting spirit. It's something that's against you. It's not helping you. The thing is keeping you down and preventing you from going where you should go in God, in Christ. In other words, it's deterring you from the path that you should go in Jesus Christ. Okay. Now, I'm going to go into the word here. I'm going to give you some things that I would hope would strengthen you, and I believe that it would. Now, in all references to the Word of God is not going to say something that's going to deter you from God. God doesn't do that. The Word of God is not contradictory. The Word of God flows. The Word of God is healing. The Word of God is deliverance. The Word of God is anointing. The Word of God is salvation. The Word of God is good. Okay? There is no error in God's Word, regardless of what people say. The Word of God is perfect. And if you don't believe the Word of God is perfect, read it and see how it manifests and see how it changes things in your life for the good, for the betterment of your life. The Word of God will change you. It will set your mind free. Okay. Now, I'm coming to you from Psalms 34. I'm going to read a few scriptures, 17 through 19. All right. Psalm 34, 17 through 19 reads, righteous people cry out. The Lord hears and rescues them from all their troubles. Did you hear me, people? The Lord hears and rescues them from all their troubles. The Lord is near to those whose hearts are humble. He saves those whose spirits are crushed. The righteous person has many troubles. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the scripture said the Lord delivers them from them all. And another rendition said, but the Lord rescues him from all of them, all of them. And then the 22nd verse says, the Lord protects the souls of his servants. All who take refuge in him, in God, in Christ, will never be condemned. Now that right there goes against the depression and the oppression of the enemy. Because the enemy will tell you, the devil will tell you, devils will tell you that you can't be set free. You can't be delivered. This thing is going to take you out. You can't be delivered from this. You can't be delivered from this. But what is the enemy? What is the devil? For one thing, once and foremost, he's a liar. If the devil says any kind of truth, it is backed by a lie. Because that's all he is a liar. That's all he is a destroyer. He is the Father of lies, and therefore, that's why you don't need to ever listen to him. When he comes to your mind, you need to rebuke him right off. You don't need to accept anything that the devil says to you. And to be truthful now, I'm going to say something else. Now, the devil many times, the enemy many times, speaks to people. And he'll have people to come to you and tell you something that is completely contrary to what God has said to you in reference to your life, in reference to what God wants to do in your life, in reference to your salvation, in reference to deliverance. Yes, the devil will send people to deter you. And they are telling you what the devil wants you to hear. And I'm going to say this to all you all listening out there. Satan, the enemy, demons, devils, foul spirits, unclean spirits, they don't want anybody to have a true relationship with Jesus Christ. They don't want anybody to be saved. They want everybody to be destroyed. That's what they're about. They want everybody to be eternally separated from Jesus Christ, from God. They don't want anybody to enter into eternal life. Demons, devils, they don't want anybody to inherit the kingdom of God. They don't want anybody to receive the promise of Jesus Christ, the promise of the Father. They don't want that at all. They do not want you saved. They do not want you to have any kind of relationship with God. Because they know that when you get a true relationship with God and Christ, that you have authority and power over them. The devils know this. So what do? They try to convince you that you don't need God. They try to tell you that you don't need Jesus. They try to tell you that you don't need the Holy Spirit. You don't need the Holy Ghost. You don't need to read the Bible. The devil will tell you that. He will give you all kind of excuses not to be saved. Why? Because if you're not saved, he can oppress you. If you're not saved, he can effectively depress you. He can even possess you. So he wants you totally naked from the things of God. But what did I just read to you? When you accept the Lord Jesus Christ and the enemy attacks you, and he will attack you, and I say he will attack you because we are fighting a battle every day of our lives. We are in warfare, people. We are in warfare. And I'm telling you, we're in warfare regardless. Regardless of if you are saved or unsaved, we're still in a war. Now, if you're in Christ Jesus, you're on the winning side. Now, he might hit you a few times, but you have to do as the Scripture says. The Scripture tells us to submit yourself, therefore, to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Now, what does it mean when it says resist? This means you put your guards up. You put on your full armor, and you fight. Resisting the enemy does not mean you just sit there and take the blows of the Satan, of listening to everything that he tells you and doing what he tells you. That's not resisting the enemy. That's not resisting the devil. That's not. That's just being buffalo. That's just being bullied. That's not a fighter. That's a wimp. God does not look at us as wimps. He looks at us as people of authority. He looks at us as ambassadors to his kingdom. An ambassador has the power of the king. The way he represents the kingdom. He represents the king. So he has some authority and he has some power. People, you have some authority and you have some power over the enemy. You do not have to listen to the devil. You do not have to listen to foul spirits. You do not have to do what they say, but you have to come under the authority of Jesus Christ. You have to obey the Lord. How do you obey the Lord? By knowing what the Lord is saying to you. Now, how are you going to know what the Lord is saying to you? It's by and through his word and by and through his spirit and by Christ Jesus. Now, I'm going to read a few more things to you. Okay. I'm coming out of Matthew 18. Now, forgiveness is always a great part of knocking off oppression and depression, because if the enemy can cause you to hold on to a grudge, cause you to move in unforgiveness, then he can put all kind of other things on you. And so it's very important that we as people of the Most High God, Christians, believers, Christ followers, have a spirit of forgiveness. All right. Matthew 18. Peter came to Jesus and he asked him, Lord, how often do I have to forgive a believer who wrongs me? And Peter said, he thought of a good number, seven is a perfect number of God. He said, Peter said seven times. No, Jesus answered him, I tell you, not just seven times, but 70 times seven. So basically what Jesus is saying, we should always be in a mental attitude of forgiveness. Now, that doesn't mean you just go out and just, you know, let people just mistreat you. But if you are mistreated, we have to be just like Jesus Christ and forgive. Now, listen to this. That is why the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wants to settle accounts with his servants. When he began to do this, a servant who owed him millions of dollars, more money than he could ever repay, was brought to him. Because he could not pay off the debt, the master ordered him, his wife, his children, and all that he had to be sold to pay off the account. Then the servant fell at his master's feet and said, be patient with me, be patient with me, and I'll pay everything back. I will repay everything. Now, when this man did this, the master felt sorry for him. He felt sorry for him. Yeah. He felt sorry for the servant. He freed him, and he canceled his debt. All those millions of dollars, he canceled his debt. But when that servant went away, he found a servant that owed him hundreds of dollars. He grabbed the servant. He began to choke him and told him to pay what you owe. You pay, you give me my money. I want my money right now, he said. Then the other servant fell at his feet and begged him. He said, be patient with me and I will repay you. I'll pay it back, man, I'll pay it back. But he refused. Instead, he turned away and had the servant put into prison until he would repay what he owed. Now, he just forgot what his master did for him. And somebody owed him a much lesser amount, and he wouldn't forgive the man. But look at what happened. The other servants who worked with him saw what had happened and felt very sad. They felt bad about this. They told their master the whole story. Now, evidently, it was the same master that forgave him of these millions of dollars of debt, more money than he could ever pay. Then his master sent for him and said to him, you evil servant, I canceled your entire debt because you begged me. Shouldn't you have treated the other servant as mercifully as I treated you? His master was so angry that he handed him over to the torturers, the tormentors, the oppressors, the depressors, until he would repay everything that he owed. That is what my Father in heaven will do to you if each of you does not sincerely forgive other believers. So you see how that ties in with oppression and depression? Now, another thing I want you to say, when you're dealing with depression and oppression, it's a mental thing. So it's something that you have to bring back to the enemy. When you're dealing with the enemy, people of the Most High God, you have to do the same thing to the enemy that our Lord and Savior did to the enemy when he was in the wilderness and he was being tempted by the enemy. You have to fight the enemy effectively with the word of God. You cannot fight the enemy with carnal means. One pastor said at one time, you can't fight the enemy using the enemy's weapons. You can't do that. It doesn't work. You have to use the weapons of the Lord. You have to put on the whole armor of God. You have to use the shield of faith. You have to wield the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. You have to have the helmet of salvation on your head, protecting you from all those lies that the devil is speaking to your ears. You have to have that on your head. You have to have the breastplate of righteousness on you that protects your heart, your internal organs, from the onslaught of the enemy, which also covers your back. You also have to have your loins girt about, tied up with the truth. With what truth? The truth of the word of God, the truth of Jesus Christ. Having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You need all of this. You have to have it on. All right, I only have a few minutes here, so I'm going to read a few more things. And then I'll be finishing up. Now, listen to this. Romans 12 reads that this way. Brothers and sisters, in view of all we have just shared about God's compassion, I encourage you to offer your bodies as living sacrifices now, dedicated to God and pleasing to Him. This kind of worship is appropriate for you. Don't become like the people of this world. Instead, change the way you think. When you change the way you think and you stop accepting the lies of the enemy who's oppressing you and depressing you, then he won't have victory in your life. So you have to change the way you think. You have to change your mindset to Christlikeness. So that way you will always be able to determine what God really wants in your life, what is good, pleasing, and perfect. Now I'm going to go over to 2 Corinthians 10. It's a familiar verse, but I got to bring it to you because this is how you effectively fight off the enemy attacking your mind and causing you to be oppressed and depressed. Is things you have to do. You can't listen to the devil when he's lying to you. You know he's lying to you, but you believe it anyway. You can't do that. Don't believe lies because they hurt you. They separate you from God. They cause sickness and disease to come upon you. What's the scripture say? Say, we do not have the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. A sound mind means a mind that is in contrast with the word of God and Jesus Christ. It's sound. It's stable. All right? 2 Corinthians 10, I'm going to start with 4. This is coming, but listen to it. Listen. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Look at this. Do you look on things after the outward appearance? You can't do that. That's how the devil works. He throws circumstances in your way. Then he talks to you. He causes different things to happen. Then he tells you lies. Then he puts spirits of oppression on you. Then he puts spirits of depression on you to make you doubt God. Don't doubt God. You can't doubt God because God is almighty. God is all powerful and God has already won the battle. You have to accept your victory in Christ Jesus in your mind. If any man trusts himself that he is Christ, let him of himself think this again, that as he is Christ, even so are we Christ. In other words, you got to take on the authority of Jesus Christ, and you have to move in that area. Now, I'm going to move a different way. I'm going to read a couple of more scriptures, and then our time will be up. All right, this is what I want to get to you, is that you have the authority over the enemy. Jesus Christ personally gave you the authority. It came straight from heaven. So you do not believe the lies of the enemy saying that he's got the victory. He doesn't. Now, this is what I want to read to you here. This is Matthew 6, 9 through 20. I'm just going to read a few scriptures here. Okay. 15. Then Jesus said to them, so wherever you go in the world, tell everyone the good news, the gospel. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. But whoever does not believe will be condemned. Now, these are the miraculous signs that will accompany believers. They'll follow believers. They will use the power and authority of my name to force demons out of people. They will speak new languages. They will pick up snakes. And if they drink any deadly poison, they will not hurt them. They will place their hands on the sick and cure them. Now, that's what Jesus said. But they're not talking about physical, natural snakes. Jesus was talking about unclean spirits, spirits that attack your mind, spirits that would oppress you, demonic spirit that would depress you by what they say to your mind, what they say in your ears. God has given you authority over those things, and you can exercise that authority in Christ Jesus, and they will have to go. You do not have to receive what they say. You do not have to receive the damnable things that they say to you, these foul spirits. You don't. You have victory in Jesus Christ. We want you to be set free. But if you want deliverance, it's in Christ Jesus. It's by and through his word. But it's by and through his word by believing and standing on it. Receiving his word into your heart. What the word says? From the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So when you're speaking the word of God, when you're uttering praise and prayer, when you're uttering the word of God in proper context, the devil don't want to be around you. You're defeating him. You're defeating him by the power of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You have the victory in Christ. You don't have to be oppressed. You don't have to be depressed. You can be lifted up in Christ Jesus by his word. And you have the victory. Yes, you have the victory in Christ. Don't accept the lies of the devil. Don't accept what he's telling you. You don't have to. You have free will. You have choice. You don't have to accept his lies. You don't have to accept anything that those foul, unclean spirits say. You can be delivered and set free in Christ Jesus. And that's what you do. And that's what you believe. And that's what you take in your heart. That's what you take in your mind. That Jesus Christ has delivered and set you free from anything that the enemy or the devil or unclean spirits would bring to you. So right now, our program is ending. I'm going to end it in prayer. Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ, we thank you, Lord, for everyone that's listening to the program. Father God, we ask that you touch each and every one of them. We bind up every spirit that would oppress them. We bind up every spirit that would depress them. We come against every unclean spirit. We bind it up and we cast it out right now by the blood and in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. We speak deliverance. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Yeah.